Good morning to everyone. It's good to see everyone here this morning, and I certainly am thankful for the confidence that the elders and my good friend Don have in me to come and be with you all week long as we study together from God's Word. And I look forward to that. Just to give you a little bit of my background, I am from the Cincinnati area, and I work with the Mill Road Church there, and I have three kids. My wife, Debbie, is and our three kids, Micah, Jeremiah, and Shanoa. She is the youngest at 17 years old. And from birth, they said that she had me wrapped around her pinky, and I said, no, not really. But I'll tell you some stories later on about all that and everything. But I just so look forward to our studies together. And I want to talk about a theme that we'll be covering all week long. And that theme is going to be living in the world, but not of it. And we're going to see how that is possible and what God says about those things to help us to live in this world and then prepare to be with Him in glory. And so we'll talk about those things throughout the week. And again, if you have any questions in regards to the lesson, I encourage you to write the question down and get with me, and I'll look forward to studying with you as we talk about these things, because that's what our endeavor to do this week is, to study from God's Word, to grow in our understanding. I hope to be a part of that, and I certainly am appreciative of you having me to be with you and working together. This morning, we're going to look at, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, as you realize the context of the passage, Jesus is with his disciples, and he is asked the question, whom do men say that I am? And they gave different answers of what others had said. And then it was Jesus says, okay, now, whom do you say that I am? And then Peter responds by saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to that reply of Peter, because that is correct. In the aspect of that, he says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. And then he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, when you start to look at this passage or these passages here, we do use them in reference to the Lord building his church. Also in those passages, there is, in that context, the statement of authority. And so this morning in our Bible class, what I would like to study with you about, and that is God and his authority, as we look at those things that are expressed in the context of Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And then what I will do, I will come back to this segment to hopefully get to it and end our study in reference to the things that we're going to talk about this morning. But we are in constant need of reminders of God's authority. And it is expressed throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. The authority of God is mentioned. And the lessons that we read about in the scriptures, they express God's authority. One of the well-known situations that we are familiar with is Leviticus chapter 10. In Leviticus chapter 10, remember, it is there in those passages that you have Nadab and Abihu that are mentioned as those priests who had offered strange fire. And because they had offered strange fire, God then consumes them with fire. And there it expressed that they died before the Lord. And Aaron, that was Aaron's sons. And so Aaron would be upset over that. And Moses had to let Aaron know, understand, Aaron, this is exactly what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near, I will be treated as holy, sacred. God is to be treated as sacred. God is to be treated as holy and given respect. And that's what you're seeing in these passages. Now, what was interesting that we leave off a lot is after Moses says this to Aaron, what is Aaron's response? That God is to be treated as holy, and God is before anyone, he's to be honored before all the people. And notice the response of Aaron. He kept silent. You see, that's the recognition of God's authority by Aaron. There are things, and later on as we get into our studies, this morning's lesson is going to have a lot to do with this. There are things that you and I will encounter or that we want to do. But when we study God's Word and we find out what God has to say on the matter and how God responded to those who did or rebelled against His instructions, we then have to be like Aaron. We have to learn to keep silent and do what God says. And that's what you're seeing here. And what is also interesting in this study, let me ask you this. What other lessons do you learn from looking at the Nadab and Abihu situation? What are some other thoughts that you had? I have some that I have put down, but I want to hear what you have to say. What are some thoughts that you have? God is intolerant of rebellion. You see, when you're looking at that, those are some very valuable lessons. What's another lesson that you may have encountered? Yes. He means what he says. So as you're learning and reading these things, they are impressing upon our minds of what we need to understand about God and who He is. Any other thoughts that one have? Yes. Yeah, punishment is swift and sure. And you can't fool God. He didn't argue back. Exactly. Look at these lessons that we all learn from these things. And that's why it's imperative upon us to read the Scriptures, to study them, and see these valuable lessons that are there. God and His authority. Any other thoughts that anyone might have had in reference to that? Yeah, here's one of the things that I had. God is to be treated as holy as He is taught, as spoken there in the passage. God is to be honored. That is impressed upon our minds when you see the swift judgment of God on that. Yes, He is to be obeyed. That's the idea of being treated as holy. That's the idea of being treated with honor. Now, I want us to think about some of the folks that we might have tremendous respect for, that we might honor. How do we treat them? How do we treat them? What do we think of them? When they say something, don't we listen to what they have to say? And if they gave us instructions on some things to do, don't we do them? Or we strive to do them as best as possible, don't we? Well, that's honor. That's the idea of respect there. This is the way God is to be treated. And then here's something else in that. He is a consuming fire. That is very interesting. When you start to look at the Scriptures and see this concept of the consuming fire, how many of us remember this lesson? Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Do you remember what happened in that situation there? Where they had the altars built, the prophets of Baal built their altar, and the God that speak, that is the God, the true and living God. And as the prophets of Baal, they're calling on their God and He's not answering. And there is Elijah knowing that he is serving the true and living God. In fact, Elijah is even pointing out to them, look, maybe your God is on a long journey. Maybe He's gone to the bathroom and so forth. Really, yeah. Getting them to see their situation and how foolish it was for them to worship these false gods. And then when Elijah's turn came in this contest, he even has his offering drenched. There is water. And then God answers as Elijah calls upon him. He answers with consuming fire, and he consumes the offering. And that pointed out that Elijah's God is the true and living God. In these aspects, it was encouraging. On one hand, the consuming fire is a blessing. On the other hand, it could be a curse to us. Remember Israel, when they are leaving the land of Egypt, there is the pillar of fire. What did that pillar of fire do for Israel? It directed them. And not only did it direct them, remember, it also protected them from the Egyptian army as well. But then you see the aspect of the consuming fire. And throughout the scriptures, we are warned that if we're not obedient or recognize the authority of God, that consuming fire will be upon us. For example, look over with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer is encouraging these brethren who have been converted to Christ. I believe that they are Jewish Christians. And they're thinking about returning back to the old practices. And they're under tremendous pressure. And they're thinking about leaving the confidence. They're thinking about leaving the new covenant that was established in Christ. And so what the writer does is he is encouraging them to understand, you can't do that. Don't do that. And he warns them, if they do not heed those things, notice the consequences. He even points out to them of if they disobey God, he says, this is what can happen, or this is what you can expect. But a terrifying expectation of judgment. And the fury, notice, of a fire, which will consume the adversary. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why is that? It's because he is a consuming fire. Those lessons that are taught to us from Genesis to Revelation about the authority of God, we need to pay closer attention to, because they express his authority. Not only do they express the practical lessons to help us and guide us, but they teach us these important concepts about the authority of God. And that God is serious about that, as you have pointed out. How about chapter 12 of Hebrews? In chapter 12 there, again, verses 26 through 29. And notice as he expresses this, he says, and his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And he says, this expression yet once more denotes the removing of things which can be shaken as created things. Why does he mention that? Why does he do that? In the what was that? You ever pick that up? That's exactly right. The created things can be destroyed. And that also tells us there is nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. We think that we can. We build these fireproof safes. We build these fireproof homes. And we're being told in this passage, as these brethren are being told, there is nowhere to hide from the consuming fire of God. Yes. What's that? Do not tempt God. But we try, don't we? And that's why we have these reminders. That's why you can see in God's wisdom about the assembling of ourselves together. As you go back to Hebrews chapter 10 there. That's why this is important. So that we can remind each other of these things. So that we can be. That we'll keep God first. Recognize Him and His authority. And so here the Hebrew writer brings this to their attention. He says, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That we could put our hope in the true things. And putting our hope in the true things, he says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. There is a rule, there is a standard, there is one who reigns that cannot be shaken. And when you and I submit ourselves to that rule, a part of that kingdom, we're going to stand. And so he encourages them. He says, let us show gratitude. Be thankful that God has made it this way. That there is a place. There is those things that we can put our trust in. That will not change. Be grateful. Show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That fire will protect us. That fire will guide us. But if we don't show reverence, that fire will destroy us. Yes. You see these reminders? That's exactly right. You see those reminders to help us to see that? And we forget. And I tell you, I do. And I have to be cautious of that. I have to be aware. But at the same time, I'm glad I have these reminders. Because I would foolishly do something that could destroy my relationship with the true and living God. And I don't want that. Yes.
They would have respected what God had told them. They could have lived.
That's right.
And that's certainly a warning for all of us today.
Absolutely.
We get in our minds that we can do what we want to do, I think, a lot of times. And we don't take heed, as this passage is talking about, to the consuming fire.
One of our problems is that we live in a country with the rights that we have. Yeah, some of them are dwindling away, and there are challenges that we're facing. But we think what we have done is put what American rights in the place of what is right. And we don't respect God as we should. And when that happens, destruction is near. And there is no ifs, ands, and buts about that. You cannot hide from it. And that's what the Hebrew writer is pointing out about all these things here. Our God is a consuming fire. Here's another aspect of that. 2 Peter. I thought I had fixed that one, Don. You know, that happens. So, but notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He talks about by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for what? Fire. It's going to be destroyed. Remember, that's exactly what he stated back there in Hebrews chapter 10. And then he goes on to point out, in reference to that, reserved by, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. If that's where our hope is, we're going to be destroyed with it. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. There's fire. And the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct, godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. Burning could have been underlined as well. Our God is a consuming fire. And you learn that, and you see that back there in Leviticus chapter 10. And you see the demonstration of that in regards to the life of the Israelites and also with Elijah. And here the Hebrew writer is reminding those brethren of the God who is a consuming fire. Adhere to what he says. Here's something else along with that. Looking at Aaron's silence in Leviticus 10, you also see this: none higher than God. Who are you going to appeal to? Who are you going to appeal to? There's none higher. Ultimate authority. And that's what it's about. Recognizing that. Here's another situation that you could see that in regards to authority, but it expresses that. How about Matthew 17, the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember that? As Peter, James, and John are with the Lord, and they see this happen, where here comes Moses. There is Elijah. They are conversing with him, and Peter's excited. I would be excited too, because Moses was the great lawgiver. Can you imagine being on the mountain and then receiving the tablets, God writing the commandments with his finger? Wow, awesome. And then Moses getting to see the Lord's afterglory. Wow, that's impressive. And then Elijah with the contest with Baal, Elijah with the prayer. There is a drought, and then all of a sudden here is a deluge of rain. And the great things that Elijah had done, and here they are with Jesus. And Peter says, let's build three tabernacles, three for them. And it is God who speaks from heaven, and he says, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wow. Looking at that, what do you learn? Like that. See, that's why I asked that, because I get to hear and learn more myself. I love that. And that's what it's about, learning and growing together. Yes. Okay, all right. Any other thoughts along that line? Yeah, I have some ideas, but I wanted to listen to your some thoughts that you had learned when you think about that. Yes. Okay. They had to learn the lessons that you and I are learning as well. And you could see God's patience with them. And you could see the growth in them later on. As they are with Jesus, they haven't quite put it together. It's not until after the resurrection, and it's not until the Holy Spirit has empowered them, that you see this change in these men, willing to risk their lives. But here they're learning, just like you and I are, about these things. And then notice, man is not God's equal. He's above everyone. That's the thought. See? You see how we're coming to the same conclusion when we're reading these lessons and looking at them? Man is not God's equal. That's what Peter was doing. Let us build 3 tabernacles. No. This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. You listen to him. Authority is given to Jesus. It's given. God is saying, listen to him. And then not only that, God's authority cannot be overpowered. No matter what you think, no matter what you say, it's not going to change it. And that's what we're seeing, as well as the other thoughts that you brought to the attention. Again, when you look at that, none higher than God. None higher. Who are you going to appeal to? God has said it. This is my son. You listen to him. We're going to say, well, Lord, I got a better idea. No. We're not running the Ford company here. You don't have a better idea. No. And remember that? I don't know if any of you remember that commercial. Young folks probably don't. So you see. Yes. Right. Man is created in the image of God. He is not God's equal, but yet he is created in his image. And he will not be overpowered. There is none higher. So you start to see these lessons to help us to see how important it is for us to recognize and see this authority. Now, what I want to do is to go back to where we started, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. I know we took a journey, and then now we're back where we started. And the reason why we're here is for us to be able to see why it is so important for us to recognize that authority throughout the scriptures. And these are just a few examples. And as you continue your studies, you'll see even more so. And I would encourage you to do so and write them down. But this is just a hope to get you thinking in that direction so that we'll serve God the way that he has instructed. Because in the passage there, as we're looking at all of this, when Jesus says, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Death cannot stop God from doing what he says he will do. He has power over death. That is an enemy that you and I don't have power over. And we have examples of these things happening every day. And so we need to put our trust in God and His authority. That's the point. And even when it came to building His church, when He is crucified, He is buried, He is raised from the dead. And it occurred just as Jesus says. The gates of Hades will not overpower it. Didn't stop Him. And that demonstrates to us a great authority, a great power for us to put our trust in. And that we will make that our hope. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul expressed there in Philippians chapter 3. He says that I may attain to the resurrection. Wow. That's what I want. I want to know what that is like. But you know what I have to do first. I have to die. And for those of us who have put our hope in the authority and power and might of God, and we serve Him, we give Him the honor, and we treat Him as holy, we will experience that. And the Bible is teaching us throughout about that. You and I are powerless against death. And we know it. But we need to be reminded sometimes. And here, God has given us hope. And not only that, we learn that we must submit ourselves to the authority. That's the church. That's the people of God. They are the ones that Peter says that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's us. We recognize that. And we have humbly submitted ourselves to that authority and power. And we will serve Him all the days of our lives. That's His people. That's what He's referring to. His people. To give us the hope, we are His. And as we said in regards to the consuming fire, since we are His, the consuming fire will protect us. The consuming fire will guide us. That's the hope we have in the Christ. And we want Him to do that for us. And then we are reminded, and we constantly need to be reminded, heaven still rules. No matter what society says, no matter how much individuals may be flourishing, and it may look like it's okay, no, heaven still rules. We cannot make up our own authority. Why? Why is that? There is none higher. None higher. Jesus had said over in John, in connection with that, that no one is able to snatch His sheep out of His hand. And He talks about His Father being greater and says no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That should put a smile on our faces. As we trust God, don't be ashamed of it. Heaven still rules. And I know those who oppose God, yeah, they're going to put us down. They're going to say all kinds of things about us. But we need to understand that heaven still rules. And some of you may be hurting. I want you to understand, heaven still rules. Just serve God. Serve Him. Everything will be all right. That's just a simple phrase. Everything will be all right. You just got to trust Him. That is so important about God and His authority. And I hope that this has helped you to see how important it is for us to follow the instructions of God. As the apostles, they bound only those things that heaven bound. And they loosed only those things that heaven loosed. That's what Jesus was saying. We can't make it up. Can't make it up. We have to follow what has been revealed. And as we follow what has been revealed, we will attain to the resurrection. And I'm sure many of us who have been beaten and battered, injuries, the aches and pains, one day that new body will be given. And it will be done by the power and the authority of God. I guess we have about a... Yes, yes, sir.
No tears in heaven.
No tears. And we're going to talk about those things all during the week. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to a great time with you. And I hope that you will join in and we can worship God together and think about these things. Any other thoughts before we close out? Yes. That's right. That's right. So I hope that's why I put that one phrase, there is none higher. There's none higher than God. Who can I appeal to? He's spoken. Just trust him. Any other thoughts? I certainly appreciate your kind attention and look forward to being with you as we study together.